good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and this week we're going to be talking about truth and consequences. First, I want to read you a word that the Lord gave me on July 15, 2015, called persecution. Many of my children are concerned about the timing of my coming and what you may have to endure in these times. I tell you the truth, that when you get to heaven, it will all be as nothing. What you endure on earth is but a vapor compared to eternity. Some of you are called to be martyrs for my name's sake. Some of you will endure persecution. Some of you shall endure much persecution. But know this, whatever I have called you to endure, I have also empowered and anointed you to endure, and do not fear. Fear takes away your joy in today and does nothing about tomorrow. Tomorrow will still come, and the plan will not change. Am I not the Lord? Am I not able to carry you through? Why do you doubt so? We're going to talk a little bit about persecution today because I've had so many emails about this subject here in the last several weeks. You know, there are three kinds of Christians in the world. There are those who love and live by the truth of the Word of God. There are those who hide and run from the truth. And there are those who really don't care one way or the other, and they only call themselves Christians. So that begs the question, which one are you? Are you living by the Word of God? Are you running from or hiding from the truth? If a church preaches truth to you from the Word of God, do you change churches so you don't have to face your sin? Or do you really not care? The Christians who should fear the most are those who don't care, because they are spoken of in Revelation chapter 3. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't know what it's like to be spewed out of the mouth of God, but I don't intend to ever find out, and I'm thinking it's not a good thing. Those who run and try to hide from the truth, that's just a simple fact of you don't want to give up your sin. And because if you're in sin, you obviously are not filled with the Word of God, your mind is not renewed, then when the end times progress and things get harder and harder, you're going to have no strength because there's going to be nothing inside you that's going to help you get through it. I would be very concerned about that. The Lord had this to say in Revelations. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoers still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. That sums it up in a nutshell. Let the righteous still do right. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Your life in these last days will be the only Bible many people ever read. Make it count. Make your life Christ-like. Somebody's salvation is going to depend on it. Can I just tell you that? I want to read you a story that Andy Stanley told, I found online. Andy Stanley tells the story of when he was 13 and learning the meaning of the phrase, actions speak louder than words. His dad is Charles Stanley. His dad was the associate pastor of First Baptist in Atlanta when the senior pastor was asked to resign. Charles Stanley was asked to preach on Sundays until a suitable replacement could be found. As he preached, the pews began to fill. Young couples started to return, the youth ministry started to grow, and volunteerism grew to an all-time high. There was a new excitement in the church. Yet some of the longtime members of the church resented Charles Stanley's growing influence and popularity. It didn't help that there was a grassroots movement started to elect him as pastor. The old guard thought he was too young, too evangelistic, and too spiritual, emphasizing a personal relationship with Jesus. Oh, heaven forbid we should emphasize that, right? The power brokers started to politic to have Charles Stanley removed. People started to take sides. 2 weeks before the vote to hire or fire Charles Stanley, Deacon Myers walked up to the pulpit as the Wednesday night service began. He started to talk about the growing controversy, and as he did, horror upon horror, he used the word damn. Charles Stanley calmly walked to the pulpit and said, "Now you need to watch your language." With clenched fists, the man responded, "You need to watch yourself or you might get punched." Charles Stanley didn't back down or step away, and then all of a sudden, Deacon Myers reared back and punched Charles Stanley. He didn't retaliate. It was his dad's response to all this that marked Andy for life. Remember, he was only 13. He stepped right back up and stood by Deacon Myers. Andy Stanley said, "In that moment, I wanted to be that kind of man." From that moment on, it didn't matter what anybody said because actions speak louder than words. That event revealed his dad's character. Anytime there is a true move of God, there will always be persecution that arises because that is how the devil fights it. You see what he did in that church? First, he caused jealousy to arise and then strife. He brought in strife and envy and all the evil works that come with strife and envy. And persecution arises. And that's what's going to happen now. If you're not really standing boldly on truth, you don't need to worry about persecution because it's not going to happen anywhere around you. It's only going to go where the real truth is being preached, where people are taking a bold stand for Christ, where a true move of God is.
When we open the pages of Scripture, we discover that character is defined by the very nature of Jesus Christ, a stumbling block for some, but a rock-solid foundation for others. Character is the will to do what is right, as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. The name of the show today is Truth or Consequences, and that's what we're going to talk about, truth and consequences. Because we live in a day and age now when speaking the truth can have some consequences, can't it? Persecution is not anything new. I hope that doesn't surprise anybody. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3 and start at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." Abshak, Meshach, and Abednego were three young Hebrew men who were part of the Jewish captivity in Babylon in the 6th century B.C. They refused to be seduced by the pagan world around them, and they were punished for it. They were being trained to serve in the court of Nebuchadnezzar and indoctrinated with all the Babylonian nonsense that they believed about their various gods. They were given different names, which was part of the brainwashing technique that they used. Nebuchadnezzar had a golden statue made of himself, and certain times of the day when this sound was made, everyone was supposed to bow down and worship it, and they refused. If anywhere in the Bible there is a true example of how we should respond in persecution, it's Daniel chapter 3. They answered him, and they said, we don't even have to be careful how we answer you. This is the way it is.
They didn't say, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, let's make a deal." They said, "This is the deal."
So then Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he commanded the guards to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than it normally was and throw them in there. It was so hot that it killed the guards when they threw them in. So they were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and other garments and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And it says, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And starting in verse 23, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" You know, when they were taken captive, they were taken from the hills of Jerusalem to the lowlands of Babylon. They were brought in as slaves. But because of their combined and cumulative ingenuity, They were elevated from being captives into being courtiers in the king's service. And it was a customary part of that indoctrination of that empire, whenever the people were enslaved, to change their names and thereby disconnect them from their history, their heritage, and their hope. Because whether you know it or not, history, heritage, and hope are all connected. You have to know where you are in order to have an insight of where you are going. And in order to know where you are, you need to look at where you've been. And that's why everything from your past is intricately connected to where you are right now. And it can become the platform that is the stage that sets you up to where God is sending you to next. Okay? Be careful about trying to cancel out where you've been. I know what it's like to have a past you don't want, okay? But again and again, I've asked God, Lord, why did I go through all those years of acting so stupid when I could have been serving you? But God can use where you're from to set your shout and your testimony of what and where he's trying to take you to, okay? That happened to my husband. My husband has spent half of his life in prison. He first went to prison when he was 17 years old. But because of where he is, because he is covered in tattoos, is the very reason that God chose him to be my husband and to be involved in this ministry, because we're called to prison ministry. And he's perfect for that. He has the part that I don't have, because I've never been arrested before. I don't know what that's like. I don't really want to find out. Your past can bless your future. But even though these three Hebrew men had had their names changed, they remembered who they were. And they remembered, more importantly, who their God was, because he was still their God. Regardless of their circumstances, I am talking to somebody right now. You are judging God by your circumstances. You are a woman of God, and in the past you have had faith, but you have fallen on a hard circumstance, and you're thinking that you're going to leave God because you think he's left you. He hasn't left you. He says you are his daughter, but you are not acting like it. You need to turn about, woman of God. Turn about. Get back on your knees. These three Hebrew men were not tripping over a label or a tag. They remembered whose they were. Lord God, deliver us from people who get hung up on titles. People who try to be in name what they are not in function and reality. You can talk that talk, but if you can't walk the walk, your title don't mean a thing. You don't have to tell people you're Christian. Your life should show you're a Christian. You don't need to tell people you're an apostle or you're a prophet or you're this or that. If you're living and walking in your gifts, your life should tell them. You shouldn't have to tell them. You should be embarrassed if you do have to tell them. These three Hebrew men, they left the hills of Judah as captives. They had to leave everything they owned, and everything that they had in life was left behind. Their city laid in ruins. The towers were destroyed. The gates were ripped off. Their families had been decimated and scattered. Many of them, I'm sure that their families were completely gone. Their business had been ruined. All their wealth had been plundered. On top of all that, the Babylonians who took them captive were irreligious. They were polytheistic. They worshiped not one god, but many gods. And the focus of their worship changed depending on who was sitting on the throne. If they got a new king, they got a new god. But they had taken their God with them. The Lord is my light and my salvation. They brought that with them to Babylon. Hast thou not known that the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding, for he gives power to the weak, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. They took that with them to Babylon. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Brought that with them to Babylon. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. They brought that with them to Babylon. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they will soon be cut down. They brought that with them to Babylon. The Lord is my shepherd. They brought that with them. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images or bow your knees to any other god. They brought that with them to Babylon. Their possessions and their property might have been in Judea, but their faith still lingered in their hearts, and the laws of God were still etched deeply in their mind. There is a false god in every one of our lives that seeks our praise and wants us to bow down to it. So I just want to tell you today, you can have money, but money can't give you meaning. And you may have a good job, but a job isn't going to give you real joy. It may give you a little happiness now and then. It will not give you joy. That comes from the Holy Spirit only. You can have a lot of good things, but they better not have you. You better make a decision right now, because we are in the end times. that you praise God alone. I might love you, but I'm not going to worship you. I might respect you, but I'm not going to worship you. I might honor you, but I am not going to worship you. My worship belongs to Jehovah God and Jesus Christ only. King Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. And they said, that's okay, because the God we serve is still able. Let me tell you something. He's still able today. He'll still be able 1,000 years from now. He'll still be able 10,000 years from now to save you from the fiery furnace. It all depends on one thing, whether you are willing to stand up for truth. Are you willing to stand up for truth? Are you willing to endure to the end with your faith? Because if your faith is strong, you cannot deny your faith. How are you going to deny the God who died for you? How are you going to deny him? And how can you not be willing to suffer anything for the one who suffered so much all those hours on the cross, who gave up so much that you might enter heaven? The truth of the Word of God can change your circumstances. Okay? It can change your consequence. But no consequence should ever change your truth that comes out of your mouth. Do you hear me? Truth can change your consequences, but no consequence should ever, ever, ever make you change the truth that comes out of your mouth. There's a much higher price to pay if it does. I'm going to read you a story called The 40 Martyrs. History knows them as the 40 Martyrs of Sebaste. They were soldiers in the famed 12th Legion of Rome's Imperial Army around 320 AD. One day the captain informed his troops that Emperor Licinius had sent down an edict commanding all soldiers to offer a sacrifice to his pagan god. 40 of the soldiers were followers of Christ, and they refused. "You can have our armor and even our bodies, but our heart's allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ," they said. The emperor decided to make an example of the soldiers. So in the middle of winter, he marched them onto a frozen lake and stripped them of their clothes. "Renounce your God and you will be spared from death," he told them. Not one man came forward. So he left them there, huddled together to contemplate his offer. Throughout the night, the men stayed together, singing their song of victory. 40 martyrs for Christ. When morning came, 39 of the men had frozen to death. The one survivor finally relented and crawled to safety, recanting his confession of faith in order to live. He traded eternity for the rest of his life here on earth. The officer in charge that night had been so moved by the scene that during his watch he'd come to Jesus. So he broke rank and walked out onto the ice. Stripping his clothes, he openly confessed his faith in Christ. The furious emperor demanded that he renounce Jesus, but he refused. When the ordeal was over, the Roman soldiers carried 40 frozen men off of the ice. Now that's true faith. And the real faith of the 39 who died caused the officer in charge to be saved. Do you have that kind of faith? Because how we respond in these end times is going to have a lot to do with who else gets saved and enters the kingdom of God with us. If you're already looking for a place to hide from persecution, you probably aren't going to have to worry about being persecuted. Your faith is not going to be strong enough that you're ever going to be challenged. It is the people who are bold for Christ who will stand up and speak truth in the face of even a loaded gun barrel. Those are the ones who have to be concerned with persecution. Only really, they don't have to be concerned at all, because the worst that someone can do is take our physical life. And if they take our physical life, all they do is deliver us right into heaven, right into the arms of Jesus, which is far better than anything the world can offer. Can I just tell you that? So you get to decide if you want to stand for truth, or if you want to crawl for a lie, or if you want to go hide from truth. But in what is coming here in the end times, it is only truth and only God's truth that is going to get you through any of it. And it's only those who really believe his truth and live his truth that can count on protection and provision in these times when no one else has either. And if you're called to be a martyr, and usually the people who are going to be martyred know ahead of time, because at some point God lets them know that they're going to be martyred, and a lot of them even know how. Rejoice in this. Only the strong are chosen to be martyred for Christ. Only the strong are chosen to represent the kingdom of God in such an honorable way. And there is no greater honor than to die for his name. Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Do I believe we will go through the tribulation? Yes, I do. Do I believe that a rapture is going to take us out before it? No, I believe a rapture will take us out before the wrath of God falls. The wrath and the tribulation, I believe, are completely separate. If you read Luke chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 24, you will see very clearly the tribulation comes, then distresses on the earth, then Jesus comes back, then the wrath comes that's in Revelations. That's what I really believe is going to happen, y'all. The apostles weren't saved from tribulation and persecution. The people over in countries like Africa, where they're being killed for their faith, they're not being saved from tribulation. Why should the rest of us be saved from tribulation? God loves all of us equally. Jesus went through very heavy persecution, which eventually cost him his life. I believe that your best preparation for going further and further into the end times is to build your faith and build your knowledge of the Word of God, because those are the two things that are going to get you through. The Word of God has an answer for every problem and provision for any situation. If you have the Word stored in your heart, where even if the Bible's taken away, which it will eventually be outlawed, if you have that stored in your heart, I don't care who says don't pray or who says you can't worship God or who says that you can't speak scripture or know scripture, you'll know it. It'll be in your heart. No one can take that from you. They can't stop me from praying. Okay? I'm going to pray in my heart as long as I live. I've been in constant communion with God since 1996, and I'm not going to stop. It's not going to end. When my body leaves the earth, it'll just be a little transition of leaving the physical behind, because my communion will always be constant with him. No one will stop me from praying. No one will stop me from speaking the word of God. And they shouldn't stop you either. Build your faith. The better you know him, the closer you walk with him, the less you will be concerned about what is coming. The less you will be concerned about persecution, about being martyred, about whatever that you feel that you're facing. It's different for each person. Like the Lord said in that word, some people will endure persecution and some will endure much persecution. You know, we don't know which one it's going to be for us. If you're going to be martyred and you know that, all you can do is build your faith and walk really close to God, because what are you going to do? That's what he's chosen. He owns your life. He owns your next breath. He can do whatever he wants. And you wouldn't want to turn it down. It's a great honor. I personally believe that God probably takes away a lot of, maybe all of, for all we know, the pain that happens during martyrdom, as far as physical pain. I believe the second that your death is imminent, he probably takes your spirit right then. So you probably don't even feel the rest of it. I'm guessing, but he's very merciful. Okay, now, I hope that that's been a blessing to you and that it helps you deal with everything that everybody's been concerned about and everybody's been going through. I want to make an announcement. We are discontinuing our AM broadcasts. The purpose of any ministry is, or should be, to share the gospel and spread the message of the cross. And the aim of every ministry should be to grow and reach as many people as possible, to offer them hope and salvation. The purpose of the Wings ministry is to share the gospel and spread the message of the cross. And if this ministry has led even one single person to the hope and salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it is a great success. But of course, we want more than just one person. We want to get as many for God as we can get, to point them to Jesus. After September 6th, the Wings ministry will no longer broadcast on the AM stations. And the reason for this is growth. And some of you may be thinking, well, how can that be growth? But think about it this way. If you're growing a rose bush, one of the things that you do to roses to make them grow and bloom more is you cut them back. You prune them. Okay? And it makes them bloom even more profusely where you want them to. We will be available at
www.spreaker.com/Glenda Linkus.
We also have a Wings radio app for Android and for iPhone that is free for you to download and it brings all the archive shows with it, and they're real easy to access. You can just scroll through all the old shows and click on the one you want to listen to. I even have it on my phone so I can review my shows. For any of you who do not have access to the internet at this time, if there's a way that we can help you in your walk with Christ, feel free to write us, Wings Radio Ministry at P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407, and that address will be given again in the outro in just a minute. But we pray that God would greatly bless you. We thank you for listening to us, and we hope that you have a really, really blessed week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.